Thank you for visiting Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. You probably came to our podcast site to catch one of our interviews, or you might be here because you know something isn't right with that story they're telling you, that the economy is about to be rescued. Everything will start growing again. Corporations are here to help you. Global trade is good for us. Toxic sludge is good for fish. And oh yes, war is peace. On Shift Shapers, we interview today's thinkers and authors about economic meltdowns, shady military and surveillance programs, climate shock, and fuel shock, also known as peak oil. They give us a true reading of what is in front of us and some clues about how to survive and go forward in an uncertain future. While you're here, browse through our menu of interviews. You'll find Michael C. Rupert, author of Reinventing Collapse, Richard Heinberg, author of The End of Growth, James Howard Kunstler, author of The Long Emergency, Derek Jensen, author of Endgame, Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows of The Venus Project, Guy McPherson, author of Walking Away from Empire, Alex Smith, Radio EcoShock, Mike Sozaby, filmmaker of Somewhere in New Mexico Before the End of Time, Carolyn Baker, author of Sacred Demise, Kathy McMahon, Peak Oil Shrink, Medea Benjamin, Code Pink, Pam Larry of Right to Know and Labeled GMOs. Also, numerous people involved in the transition, 350.org, alternative currencies, workers' cooperatives, and the Occupy movements. You will even find bilingual postings in Spanish and English. Welcome to Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. Enjoy your podcast. On July 21, police in Anaheim, California shot Manuel Diaz in the back when he ran away from them. As he went down, the police shot him again in the back of the head. Diaz was unarmed and was not a suspect in a crime. This was the seventh police homicide in Anaheim in the past 2 years and was followed by a week of protests. Berkeley journalist Titania Kume is the author of a report printed in Mother Jones magazine titled When Police Shoot and Kill Unarmed Men. She observes that these incidents are increasing.
Police shootings are rising, but violent crimes are going down.
They are also meant to cause fear.
Continued police violence is based on a police culture that relies on fear.
Anaheim police have a history of criminalizing Latino neighborhoods.
Latino community leaders who had complained about police harassment. These leaders were included in a police dossier that listed them as criminals.
Join me, your host, Daniel Kirbine, as I interview Titania Kome. We will also share the account of an eyewitness to the police attack on the Anaheim neighborhood, interviewed by our own Ventana Latina Public Affairs team.
I actually saw a lady running with her baby in her arms. I witnessed the whole thing.
Tearing Away the Veils, Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. on Shift Shapers, here on KBBF FM 89.1. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio. This is your host, Daniel Kirbine. What we're going to go to now is a little bit of sound from Anaheim.
Sour, a horrific chain of events has played out in California over the last few days. Several incidents involving police officers taking extreme measures, using violence to try to control nonviolent people. Let's start out with Anaheim, California. Police on Saturday approached several men in an alleyway, and when those men started running, one of them was shot dead by police, though he was unarmed and posing no danger to anyone. Then, as hours passed and neighbors began to protest and demand answers from police, police responded violently once again. Take a look.
So what you see in the video...
That's really the dog, and I had my baby and my...
That was a woman who, a dog, an attack dog, came from the police car at her stroller where her baby was. And there was a man who tried to fend off the dog to keep it from attacking the stroller, and he was attacked by the dog too. Meanwhile, while the dog's attacking, these officers are shooting at everybody with rubber bullets. So that was the beginning of that. And a video that came along after that, and that's where we start getting into our interviews. One from a fellow, his name is Andres. We have an interview with him coming up, but I want you to hear what he had to say, because he was there seeing all this, and the adrenaline just shot right up, and you can really hear it in his account of the thing.
The cops started shooting at people. They started tear gassing. If you look across the street, there's a baby stroller. All these cops are crooked. Police brutality. They attack innocent people. They shot rubber bullets at bystanders with babies in the strollers. We have about half of the police department from Anaheim here. We got SWAT teams and gear. They started shooting random people. The media's here. The fake media's here. So make sure that you follow up on Channel 4 if they have it. I have a video of when they shot the guy. The cops are denying that the guy was shot by the police, but I have a video. All right? This is all police corruption. They have canines. They let them go on the people. If you can see across the street, there's actually strollers. The cops are going crazy. They don't even know what to do with the people. They just started shooting, spraying everybody with pepper spray, shooting everybody with rubber bullets. This is police corruption at its fullest, people. You want the New World Order? Here's your New World Order. Here's your New World Order. Be ready, people. Stand up. Because these don't care. These don't care. Look it. They're pointing at people. There's ladies shot. There's people shot with rubber bullets. Look at these guys. I mean, they're wearing rubber shotguns on them. I mean, I can't even speak right now because this is outrageous. I just saw a group of at least 30 people getting pepper sprayed and mace and shot with rubber bullets while there's kids in the crowd, while there's babies in the crowd. I mean, come on. We got the helicopter. We seriously have about 40 cop cars out here. We got this guy right here, me mugging, looking at me, acting like he's tough, holding his gun. I mean, you're on video, dude. It's going on YouTube. This is illegal. You guys can't do this. You can't just shoot people with strollers. What's wrong with you? Hey, man, if you guys don't stand up, it's going to happen to all of us, man. They just shot people for no reason. We got to stand up, man. You got to tell them something. We can't just be here just watching. This is wrong. This is wrong, man. This is wrong. And now here comes the big wigs wearing bulletproof vests. They're the ones spraying people. They're the ones with the weapons.
So that's Andres Perez. But here is the interview with an eyewitness interview from someone who was there in Anaheim and saw it.
Can you tell us your name?
Hi, my name is Andres Perez, and I live in Anaheim at the moment, nearby where all these incidents with the Anaheim police are going on right now.
And Andres, can you tell us a little bit about you? You live in Anaheim? You live close by to where the incident happened? Why were you there that day?
Well, that day I happened just to be there driving by. I stopped by at the store. There's a store right across the street from where all this happened. I happened to stop by, get a drink. I look over across the street, and that's when I noticed, you know, there was people standing there, just, you know, looking at what had happened. Mainly, I just got there as a coincidence.
Okay, so you're there. You're about to go to the store and tell us. So you said you're on your bike?
Actually, in my car. I drove there.
Okay.
So I got there in my car. I look across the street and I see a couple ladies with their kids, you know, other younger people, teenagers and older men. I started asking around, you know, guys that were standing looking, hey, what happened? You know, everybody's saying, oh, you know, the police just shot a guy. They're saying that he got shot in the back of the head when he was running. So that actually drew my attention to, you know, to find out what was really going on. To the left of me where I had parked, there was a Channel 9 news van, the local channel here in the LA area. And I noticed they were talking to one of the witnesses. So I went up there, was listening to what, you know, the witness was saying. She was talking about that the cops had killed, you know, this 20-some-year-old person, that, you know, for no reason. He wasn't armed. He was just running from the cops.
Mm-hmm.
So I stuck around a little longer, you know, just watching, pretty much listening. And then all of a sudden, you see the news reporter running across the street. I guess the news reporter had noticed that the cops were, you know, yelling at the people. The cops were yelling at the people to stand back, stand back. But I never noticed the people throwing bottles. You know how the media has been saying that the people started throwing rocks and bottles in the beginning, which is a total lie. The people were just standing there, and all of a sudden you just see a couple of Anaheim officers open fire on the people. They started pepper spraying them. They started shooting at them with rubber bullets. I actually saw a lady running with her baby in her arms. I mean, I witnessed the whole thing from beginning to end. And it was not provoked by the people. You know, the cops just, I don't know, just started shooting these people, and it was really hard to believe, and it was really hard to see, too.
So for our listeners, the victim was 24-year-old Manuel Diaz, who reportedly ran away from a group of officers who confronted him in the street, and Diaz was unarmed. Now, so this all breaks out, and do you always carry your camera with you? I mean, it just was a coincidence that you had it?
No, it just happened to happen that I had, you know, I had the camera with me. My video that, you know, a lot of people have seen on YouTube.
Yeah.
Starts right after, I'm talking about seconds after the police had shot people.
Okay. So where the part where they were shooting the bullets, the rubber bullets on the crowds, you know, and let the dogs loose.
Yeah, okay. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are probably familiar, you know, with the footage. They've probably seen it on the news.
Yeah, it's been seen all over. That's correct.
So my recording starts right after you know, the cops stopped shooting.
Okay, and let me ask you, when you were kind of trying to explain, in a very, I mean, you could sense that your adrenaline was like really rushing. And everybody was just kind of standing around you like, really, like, whatever, you know, kind of calm. Do you think that it's a part of just they're used to that kind of thing in that community where it doesn't faze them anymore? Or do you think they don't care? Or do you think they're afraid? Or maybe in shock?
I think it was a little bit of everything. I mean, definitely the people that live in that neighborhood are used to seeing a lot of police presence. They're used to seeing, you know, the helicopter flying around for an hour or so, you know. I'm sure a lot of them are scared, and I'm pretty sure a lot of them don't think they can stand up to this kind of corruption. And, I would like your listeners to always think that we have rights, and we need to stand up and fight these kind of individuals that, you know, that take the law and use it to hurt people, which is not the right thing to do. But definitely, the community was, you know, quiet. There were some people out there that were screaming, you know, saying things, but mainly was me. As you notice in the video, I look around, I ask the people, how come nobody's saying nothing? How come nobody's there, you know, expressing their feelings like I was? But definitely, I mean, and sometime after the, you know, I stopped shooting the video, there was more people that started speaking up, and in a small group of you know, a small percentage of the people that were there were actually saying something. Not as much as I was, but at least they were, you know, trying to get involved.
There was one point where you're actually kind of calling out one of the officers. Did you just not have any fear in that moment, or did you just feel like, I mean, what? Why would you do something like that?
Yeah, well, mainly was anger. That, I mean, I have kids of my own, and I would hate for my kids to be involved in something like this. I believe as a man, I need to stand up and fight this, you know, for the smaller generation and the people that don't know that they can stand up to this kind of corruption. I mean, I wasn't thinking I'm going to get killed by them. I wasn't thinking, you know, I'm going to get arrested. Mainly, I was letting them know that there's people aware, there's people awake. You know, I'm awake. I see what they're doing in the community. You know, and we need to stand up to these types of people. And I wish there was more people out there that would do the same.
Right, and we're listening.
You know, they look at you, Go ahead.
I was just going to tell the audience that you're listening to Andres Perez, and he shot a video just a few minutes after the brutal attack of the police on the citizens of Anaheim. And so continue with your thought.
It's mainly just standing up to the police, and, you know, they were looking at me like I was the enemy. They were looking at me like I was the criminal, like, why is this guy speaking up? So in my video, you hear me telling him, you know, this is wrong, you know, what you're doing is wrong. And I told him, you know, I said it over and over, and even after the video was done, you know, I make sure that every police officer knew, you know, what I had in my mind. And I made it loud and clear to them that it's wrong, you know. They were shooting at people that had no weapons. They were not threatening them in any way. They weren't, you know, no violence was directed to the police for them to act the way they did.
Right. So that leads to my next question is, do you believe that in Anaheim, the people feel that they are not safe from the police? From the impression of your video, that seems like they can turn on the civilians in any moment. Do you feel that in general the Latino or low-income populations feel unsafe from local law enforcement?
I believe they do. I mean, you know, a lot of the people there are immigrants, and, you know, they believe that if they call the police, they can get deported, you know, which is not a fact. You know, they do have rights, and they could, you know, ask for help. The police seems like they're taking an offensive against the people. It doesn't seem like they want, you know, to unite the community and stop the violence and stop the gangs and, you know, doing what's right. Maybe you see the police around here. Huh?
How long has it been like this? Has it been like this for forever? Or it seems like it's elevated the scale of the police militarizing themselves. It just seems, has it always been like this in Anaheim?
No, it hasn't always been like this. You know, me as a child, I grew up in that same street where Manuel Diaz got killed. I lived in that street for 15 years. You know, my first 15 years of my life, I spent it on that street. And, you know, it's not your best neighborhood. It's not your high-class neighborhood. But there's a lot of good people there. And the cops used to be a lot friendlier. You would never see them abusing their rights. You know, you would never see them abusing people. Over the last few years, we've been noticing that the police is becoming more it's becoming like a military. They act more tough. They're not so friendly. You know, they drive around just kind of looking down at the people. And it has been happening more and more and more. I was recently at the police department protesting two Sundays ago. And, I mean, you can see the police in their army gear, you know, holding sniper rifles. You know, standing there like we're the enemy when, you know, it was just innocent people expressing themselves, you know, using their freedom of speech, you know, holding signs, walking around. So lately, you know, the police have been getting tougher. They've been getting more, you know, I could say hateful towards the people. So definitely over the last few years, it has been increasing.
So apparently also the next day there was another shooting of another young person. His name was Joel Acevedo. He was shot.
His name was Joel Acevedo.
Have you heard anything else, or do you know, is the community treating this as a concern to them also, or is there any talk about?
You know, it is being talked about, and it is being acknowledged by the community, but that shooting, I believe, took place late night. I believe like 2 or 3 in the morning, if I'm correct. There wasn't many people around to see what had happened. Anaheim police reported that the person that was killed had a gun. But then again, I mean, how can you believe, you know, a police department that continues to lie and, you know, and bury evidence and hurt the community? So I don't know much about that case. But there's been several, actually, police-involved shootings in Anaheim this year. I believe the last one was the 7th one this year. So they're kind of on a streak of just you know, kill first, ask questions later type of mentality, which is not the right way to do it, you know. That's not how you police a city, by killing, you know, the suspect and then asking questions later.
Now, there is a local activist called Gustavo Arellano. He has a website called presente.org, and he states that Anaheim being home of Disneyland that generates millions and millions of dollars, that the tax revenue gets put into developing more fancy places for tourists to stay while the local community is denied basic resources, and also that the police are just driving around looking, almost, let's just say, instigating trouble and hunting down instead of protecting the people. What are your feelings about what Gustavo has to say about the use of, you know, does it seem like the local people have as much niceties as Disneyland?
Definitely not. I mean, he has a point. If you've ever been to Anaheim, you will notice the big difference. You know, you go to the downtown area, you go near Disneyland, you go near, you know, the convention center. Everything is so nice, renovated. It's beautiful. I mean, they've done a great job making Disneyland what it is. But they also neglected the other side of Anaheim, you know, the bad side of Anaheim where these shootings are taking place. You know, there's old apartments, you know, the parks are not at their best. The schools are old and run down. So definitely there is a neglect on the lower income side of Anaheim, that non-tourist side of Anaheim. So that activist has a big point. Does Disneyland have the influence to influence the city to get better, meaning in the lower income areas? I'm sure they do. They own pretty much half of Anaheim. They just keep expanding their parks and building more and more. So I know that if they would want to, they could help the city as a whole get better. Have they done that? No, they haven't.
So there's a lot of people talking about this economic crash that was brought on by Wall Street and bankers in 2008, and it's really hit low-income families very hard, hence the having to ramp up the police to basically, you know, kind of give the appearance of martial law, you know, to really control the people that are suffering in an outrage. Do you see that your neighborhood there where you live has been hit by this economic devastation?
I definitely see that. I mean, if you drive around again around here, you will see a lot of foreclosed homes, empty businesses, empty abandoned houses that are not even up for close because nobody will buy them because they're destroyed. So definitely the economy that is bad all over the United States has affected Anaheim, especially the lower income areas. You know, a lot of people have no jobs, so they're out in the streets, and you know, you got to have a police force, I guess, to enforce that. But I believe they're doing it in the wrong way, by pushing the people against them, you know, kind of a pre-martial law feeling where the police, you know, drive around, can't do nothing. They're ticketing everybody for whatever reason, you know, generating revenue for the police department. So definitely the economy has hit us pretty hard here in Anaheim.
So let me ask you, bring us up to date. This incident happened on around the 21st, the 22nd? Bring us up to date.
The 21st.
The 21st. Can you bring us up to date? What are some of the things that have been happening? What is the police doing now? And is there anything going on in the future about this issue?
Well, at the moment,
What's the neighborhood like?
What's going on?
What's the neighborhood like now?
Right now, everything seems to be calm. I believe the people in the community are waiting for the investigation to see what happens. Pretty much, you have a heavy police presence still around this area. I don't live too far from where everything happened, so I get to see, you know, the police helicopter roaming around for 2 hours every day for whatever reason. You know, I don't know the reason, but they still just hover around you know, you have this big kind of military-looking vehicles that drive around all in black, you know, with 10 police officers in them. So it does seem like they're still enforcing, you know, enforcing their laws a little heavier. But from the people's standpoint of the people, they're a little calmer. We haven't seen any violence where, you know, people light trash cans on fire or break into businesses or stuff like that, which is a good thing. You know, we will kind of want to resolve this as much as peaceful as we can. I think, like I said, just mainly the community is waiting for the investigation to see what, you know, where we're going to go from here. And, you know, these police officers that killed Manuel Diaz for no reason at all, you know, are going to pay for the crime, you know, because they have to follow the, you know, they have to follow the law just like we do. You know, they're not above the law. They can't just go around killing people. Mm-hmm. It's not right.
So many people are looking at this incident and making a lot of parallels to Rodney King and the beating that he went through. And we all know what happened with that situation. Do you think that maybe this really strong-armed kind of like militarization of the police action could be to make sure that nothing seeps over to Disneyland or that nobody, you know, goes into those areas? Could there be a fear of some kind of riots at the level of Rodney King that could shut down Disneyland?
I believe that's a possibility. And I'm sure the police department is taking precautions for that. I know that there have been several marches that have been trying to go to Disneyland in the past 2 weeks, and they block them. You know, the police department will block the street and block the protest to Disneyland, which is, you know, they can't do that either. But I do feel like there could be some, you know, to the level of, you know, what we saw with Rodney King. I believe it's possible. You know, the people are somewhat fed up with this. You know, they're waking up to all this corruption that is happening in this whole country. You know, it's happening not here just in Anaheim. It's happening all over. I believe that every police department actually in the whole United States is having this motto of getting tougher, getting ready for, you know, for riots, getting ready for martial law, getting ready for civil unrest. And, you know, here in Anaheim, we're one small piece to the puzzle, you know, and the puzzle is the whole nation.
This passage I'm about to read is from the blog Shift Shapers. It's actually shiftshaper.blogspot.com. You can find other things too. This interview that you just heard and what is coming up, you'll be able to hear on our podcast site very soon, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/shiftshapers. Here's an everyday scene in the hood. Police in Anaheim see a young man running away from them and shoot him in the hip. He goes down. Had this been 20 years ago, an ambulance would have been called, and that would have been the end of the story, other than making up some excuses for discharging a weapon on a fleeing suspect. Actually, a fleeing person who was not even a suspect of anything. Here's what things have come to in the United States of today. Police shoot the young man, he goes down, then they come up from behind and finish the job by putting a bullet in the back of his head. No ambulance is called. For a brief eternity, witnesses in the neighborhood shout please to the officers to call an ambulance. More neighbors gather, astonished by the scene. Police do make a call, but it is not for an ambulance. It's for the riot squad and a SWAT team. The neighbors, including children, are subjected to a barrage of rubber bullets and the attacks of a police dog. Later on the news, the report is all about how the police stood off an unruly crowd. Welcome to the new century. Or, as the narrator in Andres Perez's video, which is Andres, says, welcome to the new world order. Events are still unfolding in Anaheim, but this is by far not the only community to experience execution-style shootings. Try Googling on police shoot unarmed man in head, and you will see dozens of incidents across the country. Only in one of these incidents, the BART shooting of Oscar Grant in Oakland, is an officer charged with anything more than an improper procedure. Some questions are waiting to be asked, like why the executions? So coming up is an interview with Tatania Kume, who has really made a study of this whole issue, coming right up. Thank you all for